I'm David Dye. We here at the World Cafe love the BPA, or Brighton Port Authority, recordings recently released with a variety of artists recorded by Norman Cook, who is better known as Fatboy Slim. So we wanted to get the story behind these tapes that Norman claims is music that he and fellow Brighton-based producer Simon Thornton recorded in the early 70s to mid-90s, that the tapes were lost and only recently discovered and released. We have our questions. How did Iggy Pop cover a song that hadn't been written at the time that the tapes were supposedly made? Among other questions, so we put in a transatlantic call to Brighton and asked Norman Cook how he could have lost this trove of recordings that were recently found in a Brighton dockside warehouse.
Just lack of focus, I think. Being Fatboy Slim and things like that took up sort of tons of time. So even while we were doing it, we just sort of do it and forget about it. It's just like one of those long lost albums, like the Beach Boys' Smiley Smile, and you know, the things that never quite got finished. And then in the meantime, you went off and did something else and forgot about it. And then Simon just found the box of tapes and went, "Oh God, actually, yes, this is quite good. Oh, we've got Iggy Pop and, you know, Jamie T and people." So it's the long lost album that never quite got finished.
Now, can you describe
until now?
Yeah, exactly. Well, can you describe where in Brighton this took place? There is this whole "We're going to need a bigger boat" title, which seems to indicate that number one, it's seaside. But was it actually on a traveling craft of any sort?
No, it was actually recorded in a sort of semi-warehouse at the end of the port, hence the name Brighton Port Authority. And I live just around the corner on the beach. So, yeah, the studio looks over on Brighton Port, which is why we thought... Also, when we looked at the tapes, it's like, it's not really a band. It's an authority.
Indeed. And there seems to be perhaps a bit of time travel involved here for some people. For instance, for you, these sessions seem to have preceded back in the 70s, you being in the House Martins.
Yes, yeah. I think the greatest wormhole is David Byrne claiming that... Oh, no, Iggy Pop claiming that we covered He's Frank by the Monochrome Set before they'd actually written it. It's one of those ones. It's like people's memories are a little bit sketchy about certain facts and figures and dates.
But that seems to be possible with this. Let's listen to that. Is He's Frank, the slight return. This is Iggy Pop covering Monochrome Set.
He got secular joy.
That is the collaboration that begins the BPA disc, and we're having a chance to talk with Norman Cook. You may know him as Fatboy Slim, involved with producing this record, which has its roots in the 1970s and on up until when did you stop working on this? When did things, or do you remember when it actually came to a
close?
Well,
obviously the stuff we recorded more recently, like with Jamie T and Martha Wainwright, so we got more memory of that.
Yes.
What we're thinking of doing is actually having the original tapes carbon dated, or like do DNA testing on them to find out exactly how old they are, because we don't really know. I mean, a lot of them I can't actually remember doing it. You know, it was the 70s, it was the early 80s, that lots of things are going on. You forget things.
Yeah, I can understand. And tell me about the Mauve period in the studio.
Oh, Mauve.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about that because I'm actually colorblind. I think I thought it was blue. I think I was going through my blue period, but it ended up mauve. I think it's just one of those things. I mean, when you're sort of hanging out in the strange studio with strange people wandering in and out, you sometimes lose a grip on reality and start you know, like dressing strangely and I'm sure all bands do it. I think it's called cabin fever.
Well, now when you work normally, do you work a lot alone with samples and albums and things like that? So this is a little bit unusual for you.
I think it's a complete departure for me, which is why it was so random. Because normally it's just during the writing process, it's me and a computer and a record collection and samples and keyboards, and then just Simon engineering it when we come to mix it down. But this was a great idea of having this sort of commune where we set up a studio at the top of the harbour, and we watch the boats go by. And I don't know, I think it stemmed from that kind of sort of West Coast James Taylor thing of, we just set a studio up in the barn, and Neil Young would just swing by and we'd do a tune. So it was kind of our take on that.
And in your case, it would be people like David Byrne or Emmy the Great. One of my favorite tracks on this, and I guess one of the new singles and videos for it, is this song called Seattle. Co-writing credit, did Emma write the words, or how did this work out?
Emmy wrote the lyrics, and we both wrote the tune. I wrote the rhythm track, and then she sort of started singing things out of it. But the lyrics are all Emmy, and they're quite personal to her. And because there was one point when she wasn't quite sure about putting it out, so I think it might be about an ex-boyfriend or something. But we called it Seattle because we decided that's our favorite city in America.
Ah, well, this is Seattle.
Everything you ever did, everything you ever said, everything will I forget, everything it ever meant. Somewhere in a foreign bed, somewhere in America, you wake a little different, forget where you have been.
That is Seattle, and we are talking to Norman Cook about the BPA. Norman, are you in Brighton? Where are we talking to you?
I'm standing watching the waves break and the seagulls. I'm standing on Brighton Beach, which is where I live.
Now, there's been a lot of music come out of Brighton. What is it? The fact that people can get away from London and get more into the country? How come so much? What's the creative sense in that city?
Brighton, it's sort of the San Francisco of England. It's got it's always been very creative, big gay community, always been quite liberal. But also, it's only 45 minutes from London. So you can live in Brighton. You don't have to live in London and get involved in all the hustle and bustle of a big city. And we've got the beach and we've got the sea. Haven't always got the weather. But there's always had a reputation for hedonism and artistic freedom.
Now, when you made the transition, perhaps a little later than some of these tapes, from the House Martins to doing more electronic based, sample based music, did that start out with you DJing, or how did that begin for you?
Playing the House Martins, that was what I felt was my heritage, coming from suburban southern England. But I always loved soul music and funk music and rap music, but just thought, as a suburban white kid, you can't make music like that. But once samplers and drum machines were invented, you kind of could, without having to put on a fake American accent. So the way that the English took to house music, which again was a black American thing, but it was something that we could do without having to pretend to be black or down with the homies. We could do it with our own character.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to finish up with Toe Jam, which is the one where David Byrne and Dizzy Rascal does a wonderful rap in the middle of this. Are there samples involved with this, because there's such catchy melodies there?
That one actually, that song spans about 15 years, because the backing vocals are recorded in Belize on some strange trip, checking out a studio. So so the vocals were done in Belize. I believe the TV's vocals were done in Brighton. Dizzy was in Brighton, and some of it was done in New York. It was kind of, like I said, it's all a bit sketchy, but that was probably the one that I think between starting the song and Dizzy doing his rap on it was probably about 15 years.
Wow, time has served it well. This is Toe Jam.
In fact, we'd actually finished it, and then Dizzy heard it somehow and said, "Oh, I want to be on that record." We're like, "Well, it's kind of finished." He said, "No, just give me 16 bars."
I was asked in New York City, "Do you like my clothes?" I'm talking to my tape recorder, walking down the road, but on Friday night I'm glorified. Now my feet don't touch the floor when the rubber meets the road in between my toes.
That is Toe Jam, one of the shining moments of the Brighton Port Authority. These tapes discovered and now are out on, I think we're going to need a bigger boat. And Norman Cook, thanks for your creativity and thanks for discovering these and I guess having a whole lot of fun for 15 years.
Yeah. And it's like finding an old diary and forgetting about what you've done and thinking, oh, actually, yeah, that was quite fun. Yeah, no, it's been an ongoing pleasure. And there might be more, but it'd probably be 15 years before we get to do Volume 2.
Great. The BPA, Norman Cook, thank you so much for joining us here on the World Cafe.
Well, thank you.